Hey, guys, welcome to a brand new podcast of Restaurant Radio. I'm Michael.
And I'm Anthony.
Today, we're going to be talking about the fetishization of skill,
aka the get good culture,
and the bastardization of casuals.
Ugh. The dregs.
Really? Aren't you one of those people that Jim Sterling talks about in those commentaries?
Hey, stop. Stop right there.
Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Our big boy.
Exactly. These games are for big boys only. By the way, I am not one of those people.
You are.
Because I don't go on comment threads to tell them.
Really? You fucking lie. You know what? Whatever. Let's just get to the session. So Cuphead, which is
that's almost all the introduction is needed.
That's all you need, Cuphead. That is the Dark Souls of 2D platformer / bullet hell games.
Okay. I promise that's the only time we're gonna do that. We are not comparing every hard game to Dark Souls because that's cringy as fuck now.
It is. It's gotten way out of proportion now with a lot of journalists.
It's lazy journalism and we need to stop it.
Yeah. Let's just say it's a really hard game.
Yes. Because we all know that Dark Souls is actually the Cuphead of adventure games.
Sure. Let's go with that. Okay, so I guess the last few years, I think Dark Souls kind of like threw this whole like hard game obsession into like the forefront.
It would have been Demon's Souls if it was more widely received.
Yeah.
But then Dark Souls came through and it was like, time to get good.
I think even before that, the little twingle of it was probably Ninja Gaiden.
Oh, yeah.
People were really into how hard the game was, which I don't think the game was hard. Just like everything had to do with specific. Like,
and kind of cheap.
Yeah, and kind of cheap. So it wasn't like hard. It was just like, if you don't do it this exact same way, you're not going to be able to beat the boss.
Nope.
Which is much different than how Dark Souls pretty much teaches you, okay, you fucked up. Now you have to try again, and this time don't fuck up. Oh, you fucked up again. All right, well, we're going to do this again. And
I mean,
error.
Bandai Namco had their hand in it as well because they continue to advertise the Dark Souls franchise with the Get Good moniker.
Yep. Get good, scrub.
Even going so far as to have one of the weirdest promotions for it with that whole hot wing thing they had going
on. Oh, yeah.
That was strange.
That was a little...
Why?
Different.
Why even do that?
Because you have to do different things to market yourself.
Well, marketing should get better. They're already good. Get better.
And then now we're in the complete prefaces of this with Cuphead.
Where there is a complete divide where you have the group of people who are good at Cuphead and they're beating it, and they're looking down at the other group who are like, Cuphead is too hard, Cuphead's too inaccessible, it's not fair how hard it is because what did they say? It keeps less skilled players from seeing the rest of the game.
Well.
And apparently there was even rants saying that the game was ableist.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
How?
I tell you what, when we are not doing this, mm-hmm. I will link you to the rant.
Huh. Well, I guess.
And of course, racist because of the art style and time frame it came from. And
that's just obvious.
Even though I have to commend the creators from kind of keeping that out, because you don't see characters with big lips, you don't see any offensive stereotypes or anything like that. So, you know, I got to commend them.
Yeah.
Because who knows what would have happened if they tried it.
Okay, so people fetishizing skill. Do you think this is specifically just for single-player games or just for games in general?
I think it's for games in general because multiplayer games always breed some kind of competitive aspect, especially multiplayer games with the ranking system. Mm. Of course, the higher-ranked people are always going to look down at the lower-ranked people and, you know.
I think I've done that in Street Fighter V.
You think you have?
Maybe. Just maybe.
Maybe?
Maybe.
We all have. It's okay.
Like, get good, scrub with your bronze.
You know, it's funny. I've only been gold for a little while, but now when people tell me, "Yeah, I'm bronze," I kind of give them the face like, "Ugh, ugh, It's like the same look that, you know, Kim Kardashian gives poor people.
Like, you're poor? Ugh. I don't want to get that poor on my body.
Or even worse, Kaiba.
Oh, yes.
How he looks down upon the poor and the less fortunate.
Even though he himself used to be less fortunate and poor.
Well, he clearly played the right children's card game.
So stupid, but that's a whole other topic in itself.
You know, and it's just the fact that when you have ranks, you start to feel as though your skill, you know, is tied to that rank, even though that's not always the case. Because there are plenty of bronze players that will smack a platinum player.
That's true. Because the ranks don't necessarily dictate skill. It just means how much dedicated you've been to playing online, pretty much.
Pretty much. Because some of these people play all the goddamn time. Like,
and they
hours.
Play any match, too. I've noticed that people who are, like, higher up, when they got higher up really, really fast, they took any connection, anything that just threw at them, they played it.
Yeah, players who were pickier and players who went through with the they didn't go through with the 2-3.
No, they just went straight to the next fight.
Yep, because that's how you get points. No runbacks.
No
GGs.
No run to GGs.
GGs, no re.
I know for me, I started to like, when I saw the connection starting to get worse and worse, I'm like, okay, I'm only doing 4 and up, and my fights were less frequent, so it took a while to get fights.
Yep.
But I had smoother connections, so I just said I would rather have a smoother connection and have like 3 or 4 fights versus having like 20 and like most of them be trash.
Yep. But of course, nobody really knows that because of all these compilation YouTubes that show only the good matches.
Yeah.
But even outside of, you know, fighting games, shooting games are really bad about this. All you gotta do is turn your mic on. And you'll hear how bad it gets.
Yeah.
Overwatch.
But that's a wholesome game.
No, it isn't.
It's a wholesome game inclusive.
All you gotta do is look up Toxic Overwatch on YouTube. Watch the videos roll.
I mean, when you put toxic in front of it, of course you're gonna find bad things.
But it shouldn't be so easy.
You're going looking for trouble. Or it's gonna find you.
And, of course, you know, you have cheaters, too. So, there's that. Cheaters who climb their way up the ranks. You know, like lag switches.
Oh, yeah. Or boosting.
Mm-hmm. You know, there are some people out there that'll advertise that they will help you rank up as long as you pay them. We won't say names, of course. But, you know, you can go from low tier to a higher rank in no time.
Ooh, that was loaded. All right.
What?
That was pretty loaded, what you just said.
Whoa.
Anywho, do you think this is more of a generational thing, too?
That's hard to say.
Because a lot of times I would see people comment about games. Like, a lot of stuff, even just Jim Sterling's, like, his video series. Like, a lot of the stuff people were saying would come from people coming from a very, very different, like, time frame.
Oh, yeah, back in my day.
I mean, I've said that back in my day before, too. I'm not going to say like I haven't. I mean,
I think all people who have grown up from at least the NES era have said back in my day things were different. Like, people, and it's hard not to because you see so much complaining. Like, I've seen people in threads complain that the game didn't have autosave. And I'm sitting here like, word?
I remember you had to actually just go to the save point. If you didn't find a save point, that was your ass.
Not even that. When you go to NES games.
Oh, just you have to put the code in.
You put the code in, play the game from start to finish.
Leave it on.
Pause the game and leave it on and hope your parents didn't turn it off because you're wasting the power.
So you think that's like a portion of the discussion that people are complaining or people just not used to? Or just being...
Change is happening, and when change happens, there's bound to be growing pains.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a good portion of the growing pains is the older generation looking at the, I guess, entitlement, quote-unquote, of the younger generation.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean that the younger generation isn't skilled or doesn't have their own ability. Because a lot of the younger generation are playing games like Dark Souls. They're playing Cuphead pretty well, and it's not a big deal.
They're playing at like an earlier age, too.
Yeah, so now they have more time to develop and get their skills together, and then eventually grow old and start complaining about how the next generation of gamers is so entitled.
Yeah. Do you think that the fact that game companies are purposely making games easier kind of like alleviates that whole need to be like great in the game? Like they kind of level the playing field pretty much.
I think that depends on the intent of the developer, because a developer can make an easier game and they can say, well, we want everybody to see the game. And that can be something, I guess, that's like, you know, some single player experience. Because when you make a low barrier for competitive games and you don't really raise the bar, you know, you keep it like low to mid range, people start to complain that this is an easy game, that this takes no skill. And then you get videos about how, you know, the game is terrible for it.
Yeah.
Because it has a low skill ceiling. I feel like a low skill ceiling allows everybody to be able to play it and master it. And, you know, your level of mastery shows, you know, through the gameplay. But something with a higher ceiling may be something that lets you show how skilled you are individually, lets you show your style, things like that. I think developers should try to strike some balance between ease of entry and complexity so that everybody's happy. The unfortunate thing is, that's nearly impossible.
Yeah, and that's just for any type of game, too. That's even like, that's not just for competitive games. Because, like, RPGs, which is my specialty, I've noticed there have definitely been an increase in how they're trying to, like, take out certain things that were mainstays in RPGs. Like, you know, say, for instance, you're trying to progress in an RPG, and you're talking to somebody. They tell you that one time where to go, and if you missed it, you have to figure out where the hell to go after that. Whereas now you have like they have a whole log, and they have like a thing and a map that pretty much tells you exactly where you're gonna go next. And like I was like, man, these RPGs are so easy now. I don't have to worry about like spending 60 hours looking for the next place I need to go to because I forgot what they said.
Up a guide or something like that. And some people will argue that that's simply progression, because I don't think a person should exactly be boasting that, yeah, I completed the original Final Fantasy in like 20 hours. I didn't need no fancy map and blah, blah, blah. I think we need to recognize that as games progress and become more mainstream, they have to appeal to a wider audience or else they won't sell.
But what happens when they alienate their core base trying to like satisfy this, you know, potential customer? Because I think that happens a lot too.
Again, I think there is some sort of balance. However, I do sometimes think that depending on the franchise, appealing to newer customers may be just a smidge more important. Not so much so that the core people should be ignored, but there are some things that, you know, you're going to have to give new players something to give, you know, get into.
I think that's fair. That's not realistic either.
No. Like, you know, doing things like tutorial modes or single player modes for somebody to, like, kind of practice the game or something. Or if it's a single player experience, appropriate difficulty modes.
Yeah. I think that's fair.
Now, if you're going to make a game that's going to be hard, that's fine too. If it's going to be a niche thing, perfectly fine. But understand that that niche game is a niche game because it's not for everybody. I don't think that the appropriate response to a niche game is when somebody doesn't like it or not into it to shun them or be like, oh, well, you don't like it because you're not good at it. And that may be the case, and that's fine because this game is not made for everyone. You know, that's the purpose.
He's talking about Cuphead.
No, I was actually thinking about Dark Souls.
Oh, same difference.
It is really.
Like,
I mean, even Cuphead. Cuphead's not for everybody. If you don't have the reflexes or the timing and things like that, that's fine. You shouldn't be shunned or, you know, ostracized for that. And that's, I think, that's where the problem lies.
Yeah.
That people who can't play this game are being told that they're terrible at video games, that, you know, stop playing video games or, you know, whatever.
Or the back in my day type thing. It's kind of a very, like, condescending type of thing. And I know myself personally, I have a few times made one of those back in my days to someone who was complaining about something. But I felt like what they were complaining about was just really trivial. Like, difficulty is something you shouldn't complain about. But, like, an aspect of the game that's, like, maybe not so great, I think I can roll with. But just saying, oh, this game's hard, it's bad, that's not really a legitimate excuse.
I think the only time I've been, like, back in my day is when people say things like, oh, man, Cuphead's, like, one of the hardest games ever made. And then I think of games like Battletoads.
Ooh.
I think of, like, the Contra series.
Man.
I think of the old Mega Mans.
Can't mess with those.
I mean, before X.
I know. I can't mess with the Before X series.
Because, to me, the X series is pretty easy.
It is. Except that last fucking boss fight.
Yeah, they always ramp it up there.
Like, everything was going good until you got to the last boss fight.
You know, you got your Metal Slug, you got your Gunstar Heroes.
Ooh, Gunstar Heroes so good, but so freaking hard.
Oh, yeah. So, that's when I start to say things like, you know, I mean, I guess I've played harder games when I was younger, but, you know, no big deal.
Well, it's because I think the restrictions of technology back then made games harder, too.
Yeah, definitely. I think, well, it's been proven that some games were just hard because they are in arcades and they wanted to eat up your money. So some games were designed to be hard so they can keep on making you try that one more time.
Dun, 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 money making machine.
Yeah, I mean, Double Dragon is a good example. That game is fucking hard.
It is.
And cheap.
It is.
Because they want you to keep putting quarters in.
And people did.
Yeah. Games like that master the one more time mentality, where you die and it's like, try again, and you know the death you just took you probably should have taken. Especially when you start looking at what happened, you think to yourself, I can do this differently. And so you put that quarter in to see if you're right or to progress or see more of the game, and boom, they just made another quarter.
Trial and error at the expense of your expenses.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I was trying, like, when I was, like, much younger, playing King of Fighters 97, and I was having the hardest time beating the last boss. So I figured out how to do it, and it became, like, the easiest thing in the world. Mind you, people were, like, older than me were playing, and couldn't even get to the last boss. I was like, oh, look how great I am in fighting games. And then you found out you're not so great when you fight other people who are better than you.
Yeah. You find out that computers have patterns.
Yep. That's what I figured out at an early age about that.
But people are much more unpredictable.
Exactly.
And crazy.
But I think this whole discussion about fetishizing skill, I think it's all boiled down to the whole, like, high score mentality.
Yeah.
Like, back in the day, seeing someone's high score, like, oh, I can take that. And praising the person that got the high score. Or if you see somebody playing a fighting game, having, like, you know, racking up wins and stuff.
You go over there and you watch them and you think, oh my God, I want to be like that.
Yep.
That's why we still have scoreboards and games.
Yep, leaderboards and all that stuff. Like, hey guys, you can see how good you are.
And that's why people still speedrun so they can show off their world records.
Ah, yeah, speedruns. I don't quite get the phenomenon with speedruns, but I'm not into
it's,
like...
It's just proving that you know the game so well that you can beat it fast.
Yeah.
I was actually watching a Cuphead speedrun. I think the current record is like 27 minutes.
How?
You'd have to watch.
I don't even understand how you can beat the game, let alone be in 27 minutes.
Man, it's a pretty good feat. It's nice. He's got it down to a science. That's pretty interesting.
So, what's your take on skill? Do you think that fetishizing... Well, I feel like because people fetishize skill, they completely demean people who aren't as skilled. Which is, I think, the core issue.
Skill is something that can be tempered. You can get it, you can lose it if you don't practice it. But it's not something that's so, I guess, static that you either have it or you don't. I don't think people should be demeaned because they don't want to put their time into something they don't enjoy. And I think that's the bottom line of it. If you don't enjoy Cuphead, if you don't enjoy the grind of getting better, then don't do it. However, if you choose not to do it, you shouldn't be demeaned for that decision. The world of games is wide and vast. AAA gaming, indie gaming.
AAA gaming?
Stop that.
Sorry.
Take your pick. Play your games. Enjoy your shit. Because you paid for it, most likely.
I like how you threw that in there.
Hey, man, I have to acknowledge that some people will pirate games.
Yeah.
And I will not shame you for it. Play your games, man.
Play your games however you feel you need to.
But just stay off these forums, man, because you will find all sorts of threats to try to make you feel bad.
Oh, yeah. Like, forums. I mean, I think Facebook is like the new forum. Like, joining groups dedicated to certain game or certain game types has really changed my outlook on the gaming industry as a whole. Like, the gaming community, I'm sorry. That's kind of separate. The industry and the community are two different things to me.
Yep.
Community is based around, like, people, whereas the industry is based around the people who are doing the decision-making.
And the money.
And the money. So, yeah. So, you have any final thoughts about fetishizing skill?
Don't feel bad because you're stuck on the flower. That flower is a dick. And I understand your pain.
I think for me, talking to people about certain games, like Fire Emblem, a good example. I forgot about that game. And how people like, you didn't play it on hard and permadeath? You're not playing Fire Emblem then. I think that discussion is most irritating.
You know what you do? You go to the title screen and you point at it. Fire Emblem.
Because, like, I've talked to people before and they were just like, ugh, you didn't do it that way. Ugh, that's not Fire Emblem. That's not the way it's supposed to be played. And I'm like,
if it wasn't the way it was supposed to be played, they wouldn't put it in there.
Exactly. They did it for a purpose to get people like me who aren't exactly that great at strategy RPGs. Because strategy RPGs already themselves are hard. They're not easy. They're not easy to pick up. They're not the easiest to play. And then you add a big, like, difficulty spike of permadeath where your characters die, that's it. Like, that's a lot.
It's pretty stressful.
That's really stressful. So I'm like, you know what? I need this to be a little more catered to the way I like playing games. When my characters die, if I revive them, they come back to life.
And you pay for your game, you have that right. You deserve that right.
Yeah, you just can't talk to, like, elitist about it. Like, you put it on casual. What a casual. Well, casual.
Tell them, you buy my game, I'll play the way you want me to play it.
Yeah, I agree.
Bitch.
So what do you guys think about casuals and, you know, fetishizing skill? Do you think we should continue fetishizing skill? Do you think we should always get a hard-on for someone who can play Cuphead and beat in 27 minutes?
And which Cuphead boss is the worst, and why is it the flower?
And do you like the Dark Souls series, or do you going to play that new Dark Souls game, the anime one that's coming out?
I'm down for that, actually.
I'm not playing anything.
I'm
with that.
Totally playing all that.
That's an anime version of Dark Souls.
It's,
they tried.
It's anime. That's
they
all
tried.
They needed for me.
They tried that one. I saw it. Like, oh, I see through this.
They caught me with Bloodborne, and they about to catch me with this.
You got caught too easily.
Hey, they gave me aesthetics I like.
They just put anime skins over it.
Well, I like anime.
It's still Dark Souls, though.
It's flashy Dark Souls. Anime Souls, if you will.
I need you to be better and not so easily tempted by
anime.
Anime
Souls.
All right, guys. We'll see you next time.